Set phasers for stun and prepare for warp speed. It's time for the We Got the Geeks movie talk.
All right, time to ignite our lightsabers and use the Force. K-Stu and I are looking back at a couple of films from the Star Wars universe. So, first of all, hi, K-Stu.
Oh, hello.
So, the reason we're looking back at the Star Wars movies, a few reasons, actually. In honor of our appearance at Fun Expo, excited to watch a couple of the Star Wars movies. We'll start with Return of the Jedi, and I'm feeling massively old because this upcoming Saturday, the 25th, 30th anniversary of that movie.
Yep.
I think I saw it on the second or third day it was released as well. I was in grade 8 at the time. And we didn't have the internet back then, but I did spoil it for myself because I read the Marvel comic like about 2 weeks before I saw the movie in the theaters. What I want to ask you, your Star Wars experience is a little different than most people.
Yeah.
You didn't see the movies till you were an adult, right?
Right.
The original trilogy?
When I was dating you.
When you were dating me. But you did have a knowledge of Star Wars, and did you not have the toys when you were a kid?
I did. I had toys.
Like, you had, like, the Kenner action figures, which were a big deal back then.
Yeah, I had... I want to say I had Luke and Chewbacca, and my sister had Leia and Han Solo. No, Leia and C-3PO.
And didn't you guys have the land speeder as well?
I had a land speeder that the doll could sit in.
And they had the pop-out wheels. And
yeah.
We saw that at Fun Expo, like mint in the box, actually.
Oy.
Yeah. I had that land speeder until my mid-20s. I was living with my roommate, John, and I believe I sat on it when I was drunk one night.
Nice.
But yeah, you had the toys, and you had the knowledge of the movies.
I had the toys, and I had a storybook. Because I remember it had, like, scenes from the movie, and it, like, told the story of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Of the first Star Wars movie. So there was the picture of Luke and the two moons, or suns,
yeah,
or whatever, and he's looking off into the distance, was like how the book began, just like how the movie began.
Right.
And then there was like the scene in the cantina with all the aliens. Oh, I wonder if Pam Rose is in that. I don't even have the book anymore. I can't check it, but that'd be kind of funny.
We can check it during the commercial because I think I have the Star Wars storybook.
Oh, okay.
But you knew the story, you had the toys. Any particular reason why you didn't see them till you were an adult?
Well, when the original Star Wars came out, 1977.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. My sister insists that we saw it, but she would have been 2. So how she remembers we saw this movie when I was 5, like, I can remember what movies I saw in the theater and stuff. And
right.
That was not one of them. I know we moved to Germany that year, but we didn't move to Germany until later, like December. So I don't know why we didn't see it earlier. And then we were in Germany in 1980 when Empire came out.
Yeah.
So we didn't see that. Because it took a while. It took a while for us to get movies and get TV shows and stuff like that. It was definitely a delay. It was at least a 6-month delay for us getting stuff.
It's not like it is now. Like,
yeah.
Back then, North America got the movies, and then it took a while to go overseas. Which, these days, you get all the big movies overseas now before we get them. But I remember, again, I was a little bit into comic books, and my parents had got me, you remember those big coffee table size treasury, big, huge comic books they used to put out? They had gotten me, one of them had the first 3 Star Wars comics in it. The movie itself took up the first 6 issues of the Marvel Comics Star Wars. So I had the first 3 issues. I think it ended right as they were jumping into the trash compactor.
Yeah.
And I was convinced C-3PO was going to be the hero of this movie for some reason. Like, reading through the book, I remember thinking, that's a cool-looking robot. And I just remember going to see it with my parents, and the lineup was right around the building trying to get in to see it. And then I just kept going back to see it again and again and again. Back in those days, movies kept getting re-released every summer.
Yeah.
It's not like today. Like, there was no such thing as VCRs even back then.
Well, I know, like, getting completely off topic, you mentioned earlier today that, what, September, Iron Man's going to be out, Iron Man 3 is going to be out on DVD?
Yeah, still in the theaters now.
And we're trying to explain to Diana that, like, when we were kids, you had to wait years for a movie to come out on VHS. And even then, you couldn't buy the VHS because it was like $90 to buy a VHS tape.
Yeah, once in a while, if the movie was gigantic, they'd sell it to you for like $30, I think it was.
Yeah, like Batman, when the Michael Keaton Batman came out, that was one of the first ones that you could buy.
Yeah, I was able to get
and
that
one. And it was $24.95, I think.
Yep,
that
one,
was U.S. price.
And Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade and Lethal Weapon 2 were the first big ones I got
Home
to
Alone.
Buy right away.
I'm just trying to remember back from the working in the video store. Like, it was a big deal when things would come out and you could actually buy them.
Yeah.
Because it was $90 minimum, $89.95 manufacturer retail price. Manufacturer suggested retail price to buy a movie.
Yeah.
So, like, the theaters would re-release the movies because that would be the only way to see it again.
Good example, since we're talking about Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back came out in the theaters in 80, didn't get released to home video till 85.
Yeah.
Like a movie that big.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It's just crazy. So back then, I think I saw the first Star Wars movie 3 summers in a row in the movie theaters.
And I remember, like, not obviously not seeing the Star Wars movies, because I didn't. I don't care what my sister says. But you'd go to a movie, and you'd want to remember all the great quotes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to totally rely on your memory, or sneak in a notebook and a pen and try to write in the dark.
I never did that.
No?
No.
No, I did plenty of times. Because you didn't have IMDb with, like, the funny quotes and stuff listed.
One of the best inventions of all time, by the way.
So, oh, yeah, we're old. So, 30 years.
30 years for Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
What was your initial impression when you finally... And did you watch them in order, episode 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah, you had me watch them in the correct order.
Oh, did I watch them with you, or...?
You were the reason I saw
them. Oh, but someone else had ruined it for you from quoting it so much? Okay.
So, I had an ex who quoted it all the time, and I didn't realize he was quoting it all the time until I was watching the movie. And I was like, seriously? I already know all these lines.
Oh, man.
So, I'm not a big fan of the original trilogy because of that, because they were ruined.
But we got this... Well, I met you a couple months after Phantom Menace came out in the theaters. It was that summer.
Yeah.
So we did actually get to see two of the movies in the theater together.
Yep.
Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. And you liked them a little better because they weren't ruined for you.
Yeah, because I could actually enjoy the movies.
All right, cool.
Even the iconic Han Solo saying, "I know," in response
you see,
to Princess Leia saying, "I love you."
Yeah.
Instead of me just thinking that Han Solo's a jackass, I also think my ex is a jackass, so it works out well.
Well, you see, I laugh to this day whenever I hear that. You knew the story behind that, right?
No.
They were getting ready to film that scene. And by the way, we met Alan Fling this weekend, who played a stormtrooper in that scene, man. And he was telling us about that. Listen for the interview this week. The original script was, I love you too. But then Harrison Ford was like, Han Solo would never say that to anybody.
Yeah.
So we just came up with, I know, like right there on the spot.
Nice.
Much like the swordsman from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh.
Man's a genius. So Return of the Jedi, 30th anniversary, this coming Saturday on the 25th. Here's a little known fact. I don't know if, I probably told you this a million years ago. Before Return of the Jedi came out, it was called Revenge of the Jedi. And I saw a double feature a couple months before Return of the Jedi came out. It was Star Wars and Empire. It blew my little mind, I tell you, seeing them together in a theater. But before, at the beginning of Star Wars, there was a trailer for Return of the Jedi, but it was called Revenge of the Jedi. And there was even posters in the lobby that said Revenge of the Jedi. I guess if you can find a Revenge of the Jedi poster now, it's worth a ton of cash.
Yeah.
But then after that, Lucas was like, well, the Jedi would never take revenge. So they switched to Return of the Jedi. Which, it also screwed up a little movie called The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, because they were going to call it The Vengeance of Khan. But then they were like, we can't call it that. Lucas is calling his sequel Revenge of the Jedi.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I'm going to tell you this. This is the first time in 30 years, I'm going to say I've seen this movie at least 500 times. that's a generous number. I've kind of looked at it with a different pair of eyes this time. It didn't seem that great to me this time. And I love the Star Wars movies. To me, Empire and the first one are classics. And I always did like Return of the Jedi, but there was stuff in it that bothered me this time.
I'm sorry.
Well, let me tell you a little bit of what bothered me. Han Solo is written as kind of a dick in this movie.
Yeah.
Always wisecracking when there shouldn't be wisecracks, and they wrote him as kind of a dumbass?
Yeah.
Like, there's that one scene where they arrive on the Ewok planet, and they're like, oh, there's some stormtroopers down there. Hey, I'll go take care of this. Oh, can you be quiet? Hey, it's me. And then, of course, he's not quiet.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I read somewhere that Harrison Ford wanted Lucas to kill Han off in that movie.
Yeah.
But Lucas wouldn't do it because, really, you can't sell a lot of dead Han Solo toys.
No.
Han Solo really had no place in that movie now, though. Now that I... And who knows, maybe the next time I watch it, I'll think differently, but... Sorry, Harrison, you're awesome in The Empire Strikes Back. But, yeah, he was kind of a dick in that. I never liked the Ewoks, like, even as a kid. I just thought it was ridiculous that teddy bears with rocks and sticks...
Beat
these stormtroopers with lasers and the walkers, you know, the two-legged walkers they had... Which, by the way, I love. I still love those. They're cool looking. What bothered me this time, when you first meet the Ewoks...
Was it that they didn't blink?
No, and you know what? That, I never would have in a million years given a crap that they didn't blink. But Lucas, as you know, redid the trilogy for Blu-ray last Christmas. And he had to make the Ewoks blink, because that was important. That's all I kept looking for when we were watching it. Like, holy crap, they didn't blink.
Little zombie teddy bears.
But what really bothered me this time, which I never really thought about for 30 years, when we first meet the Ewoks, they capture Han and Luke and Chewie and the two robots. They were about to cook and eat Han and Luke and Chewie.
Yeah.
And, like, no one really mentioned it afterwards.
Nope.
But they allied themselves with them. Oh, these guys were about to eat us. But now they're cool.
Yeah. Until Leia said, no, they're my friends. Oh, then we won't eat them.
Now, also, which a point I never... And by the way, sorry for slagging on this movie. I mean, it's a great movie. But you brought up a good point about Leia with the Ewoks. Why don't you tell it?
They just magically had a dress in her size.
Yeah, why would they have that? Oh, unless they ate somebody else and kept the clothes.
I guess. We will keep the clothes of the people we eat in case we have to capture more and clothe them before we kill them. Like, she comes out, like, all, like, as their queen or whatever, and she's got this dress on and her hair all done.
So who did her hair? Have
brushes and hairpins
and
stuff.
They have, like, an Ewok stylist there?
Apparently.
Okay, why would they eat Chewie? Didn't he look similar enough to them that...
You know what'll taste good? Huge usses.
Oh, God. I'm never going to look at the Ewoks the same way if I ever watch that again, man. They don't blink and they eat people. And they have dresses in their kingdom, in their Ewok kingdom.
I don't know. I was never a fan of them anyway, and then I was watching it this time going, seriously? What? No.
Yeah. Something else which always bothered me as well and just thought of it as a little too convenient. So Princess Leia is Luke's sister.
Yeah.
The only female in the whole Star Wars galaxy turns out to be his sister. That being said, he was all excited to be making out with her in the first two movies.
Yeah.
If you remember in Empire, she made out with him in front of Han, and then he was all, like, happy. They never addressed that.
Nope. Nope.
Oh, good Lord. You know what? Let's take a break, and I'll gather my thoughts about some more Return of the Jedi moments right after this word.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Mostly Comics has been serving the Niagara region for over 30 years. The store sells a variety of comics and entertainment-related products, including graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Mostly also purchases rare comics upon appraisal. Visit Kim and the Gang at 413 St. Paul Street in St. Catharines, or check out their website at www.mostlycomics.com.
All right, may the force be with you. K-Stu and I are back here on this week's Movie Talk, talking about Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Which, to make you feel old once again, 30 years old this week.
Jeez.
Let's not even think about the fact that in 3 years, 40th anniversary of the first movie. Anyhow.
Shut it.
So we're talking about some of the stuff that bothered us about Return of the Jedi, and I'll get into some stuff that I really still do like about the movie. So, found it a little too convenient that Leia was Luke's sister. I think they were trying to top the whole Luke, I'm your father thing from Empire.
Yeah.
Which, you don't need another revelation like that, sorry.
No.
What else? Boba Fett, which they build up to be this awesome bounty hunter, was like the biggest character to come out of The Empire Strikes Back, dies like a bitch in this movie.
Trips and falls into the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, he doesn't even trip. Han Solo bashes into him by accident, and he flies into the Sarlacc pit. And I think he even screams like a little girl when he falls into it.
Yeah, but that's okay. Because when they do the Patton Oswalt version of the next movie, his arm comes up out of the Sarlacc pit.
I don't know if it's official canon, but in the books and in the comic books, they had different stories about how he came out of the Sarlacc pit. So, yeah, that always bothered me because he was such a badass and he had the rocket jet pack and I don't know.
Yeah, so why didn't he fly out of the pit?
Was it damaged when Blind Han Solo hit it?
I don't know.
And also,
did Han Solo have the farts the way Peter did after he came out of the carbonite?
No. Speaking of plot and inconsistencies, when Han got frozen in Empire Strikes Back, Lando had betrayed him.
Yeah.
And then he got frozen. He comes out of being frozen, and Lando's there. Never mentions that. All of a sudden, he's buddies with Lando.
Hey, buddy.
Like, he's trying
How's
to save.
How's the clothes fit
you? He's trying to save Lando from the Sarlacc pit. I would have been like hitting him with that stick. Oh, you betrayed me. Get in there. He's in the pit. It's too late for him.
So Luke shows up to save everybody and gets captured because he's a dumbass. Gives a little wink over to R2-D2. R2-D2 spring loads and launches his lightsaber at him. I understand he has the force. I understand, like, it's magnetic and it's just going to go to his hand. Dear R2-D2, in episode 2?
Attack of the Clones.
I don't think it was 1. I think it was 2.
Yeah. 2 and 3.
In 2, we learned that you can fly. You continued to fly in 3. You then did not fly in 4 or 5. Maybe in 6, instead of launching his lightsaber at him, you fly it over to him. I'm like, come on!
You know, it's real funny because I wrote down here in my notes that R2-D2 was maybe the only character that didn't annoy me this time around watching it. Even Chewbacca with his lame Tarzan yell as he was swinging over to the walker.
So, I know that originally when episode 4, 5, and 6 came out, R2-D2 couldn't fly, but don't make him fly in the other ones.
Or explain in part 3 why he's not able to fly anymore.
Because we forgot
that
he didn't fly and that flying would actually speed things along a little bit.
Wow.
I don't know. It just made me so angry.
It did, actually. You, like, looked up at the screen and went, what?
And fully knowing, yeah, when this movie came out, R2-D2 could not fly. Which, seriously, George Lucas, seriously, you made a droid and he can't fly? Like, C-3PO, I get, because he's more, he's a protocol droid, and, like that, like where I pulled that out of.
I do, right.
And he, like, walks around like a human. All right. You didn't look at R2-D2 and go, you know what he could do? Fly. You put a jetpack on Boba Fett, why wouldn't you put, like, install jetpack-like properties in R2-D2? I don't know, I'm very angry.
Good point.
Very angry about this.
You know, I still did like the speeder bike chase through the jungle. I think that still holds up 30 years later. It still looks pretty cool. And I like the look of the biker scouts, too. Yeah. I always get excited when I see them at conventions.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're cool looking. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
The final lightsaber fight was pretty decent between Darth and Luke. When Darth regained his humanity and became good again.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, you're Darth Vader. You're not gonna be good. That's like saying, like, oh, and then at the end of Batman, the Joker saw the error of his ways, and now they're friends. No! You're the bad guy! You stay bad.
True. True. Well, he wanted to redeem himself for his son.
And I know we're gonna talk about it in a minute, but you were such a whiny bitch and, like, flipped faster than a quarter. Like, just, I can't even, oh, I'm so angry.
I don't be angry.
He became bad so quickly.
Yes, he did.
And then just, I guess it's par for the course, like, oh, I'll be good now. I'm giving up, going to try to make this Death Star. That's just not going to work out for me.
Oh, man. So apparently, when Lucas first wrote these movies, the Death Star wasn't going to show up until the third movie. But because they didn't know if they'd be able to make another movie after Star Wars, the first one,
Yeah. The
Death Star was in that movie. So I always found it weird that, okay, they blew up the Death Star, you're just going to go and build another one?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even done yet.
It just doesn't make sense.
I still like the speeder bikes chase. I like the lightsaber fight at the end. The spaceship battle with Lando and the gang at the end, that was still kind of cool to me. What else do I got written down here? When in the late 90s, Lucas added some stuff to the movies, to the special editions. When this one was first put in theaters in 97, wasn't really anything that much added to this one. They showed the celebrations on other worlds at the end after the Empire was defeated. I noticed we got the DVD and I noticed that they had to add in the Jar Jar Binks world at the end.
Yep.
Celebrating.
Yep. The Gungans.
This week's Geek Survey with Ryan and Jody. We did a Star Wars related one and we talked about the special editions and really, the new special effects and the background stuff they added to these movies didn't really bother me that much, with two exceptions. I, too, do not care for Greedo shooting first in New Hope.
Yeah.
And probably worse than that one was what they did at the end of this Return of the Jedi. You know where I'm going with.
Oh, I do.
So, in the original theatrical version, at the very end, while the Ewoks are celebrating and all the rebels are, oh, we killed Darth Vader and we're awesome, fireworks.
Ding dong, witch is dead.
Luke looks over to the side and he sees the ghostly Jedi versions of Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi and his father, who he recognizes because a couple scenes before that, he took off Darth Vader's mask.
Yeah.
And he's an older guy because it's like, what, 20, 30 years since he became Darth Vader? His face is all mutilated from...
Let's not even get into the timeline and how that doesn't work.
All right. But
because that may be angry
but
too.
He recognized the face, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's the dude that was my father. He's a ghostly Jedi now. Cool. In the redone one, it's Hayden Christensen standing in as Anakin Skywalker. Now, I get why Lucas might want to have some continuity there, but
no,
it doesn't make sense.
There's no continuity. He didn't replace Obi-Wan Kenobi.
With Ewan McGregor.
With Ewan McGregor. Because I can't remember the original.
He could have been a real dick and just thrown Qui-Gon Jinn and Mace Windu and everybody in there too, right?
Like,
people Luke wouldn't have known, right?
Oh, just so angry. So you replaced the older actor with Hayden Christensen. And he's supposed to know this guy?
Yeah, I'd be
I
like,
would just be like, who's over there with Obi-Wan and Yoda?
Oh, cool. Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi and some young guy with a mullet. You remember the Family Guy joke, right, when they did that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm Yoda. And I'm Hayden Christensen. Doesn't make sense, George.
No. No, it doesn't.
We need to go back and put Sebastian Shaw back in there.
Please.
So, I was trying to come up with my favorite Star Wars in numerical order. Return of the Jedi, probably my fifth favorite of the six, just narrowly beating out Phantom Menace. If you're listening, I do like two prequels more than I like Return of the Jedi. So, I mean, I don't want to slag it because I grew up with the movie and, I mean, it's Star Wars, but
it goes with it's the third movie in the franchise.
Yeah,
and it's the weakest movie of the three.
And too many creatures too in the Jabba scene and all that.
Yeah, it was like, wow, there's quite a party going on here, and just everybody's going to end up in the Rancor pit. Like, it was kind of like when you watch those 80s teen comedies, and there's a pool, and you're like, oh, everybody's going to end up in the pool. It was like, oh, everybody's going to end up in the Rancor pit.
It's like Dante said in Clerks. Empire Strikes Back was a dark movie. Han was frozen. You find out Darth was Luke's father. Luke gets his hand cut off. All Return of the Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
Yep.
So, I mean, I might change my mind next time I watch it, but I'm going to rate it as 3 creepy Ewok dresses out of 5, I think. How about you?
I will give it 3 unblinking Ewok teddy bears out of 5.
Now, before we go to the commercial, sorry, go ahead.
One of the words C-3PO uses to communicate with the Ewoks is Naboo, which is the name of Queen Amidala's planet in Episode 1.
Do you think they planned that?
I don't know.
30 years ago? Oh, and here's something I'm wondering about. Princess Leia seems to remember her birth mother. When Luke asks her, do you remember your real mother? Oh, yeah, she seems sad and blah, blah, blah. How do you remember your birth mother?
Yeah.
She was alive for, I don't know, 2 minutes?
And then she went off with Jimmy Smits.
Yeah, Jimmy Smits. So what is your favorite Star Wars movie then? I'm just curious.
Episode 2.
That was a good one. The old standby for me, Empire Strikes Back. You can't go wrong with that one for me.
Do you have any Episode 2 is the love story. So yeah, that's why I like that one.
The love story and great Jedi duels in that one. Got any other interesting facts there on the
I'm looking through it right now.
And Wedge.
They never said that they were Ewoks.
No, they don't use the word Ewok, and they don't refer to Boba Fett as Boba Fett until Return of the Jedi. Like, they never called him by name in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, no. That's everything we've already talked about, pretty much.
All right. I do know there was two cutscenes from the movie. They did show a scene where Luke built his new lightsaber in Ben Kenobi's old hut from the first movie.
Oh.
They cut that out. And then there was a scene after they've defeated Jabba the Hutt, they're getting ready to leave the planet, and they were in a sandstorm, and they actually made action figures a couple years ago out of that deleted scene. It was like Han thanking Luke for rescuing him and all that.
Actually, I did read something here.
Oh, International Movie Database.
It's not, I can't find it now, but Leia and Han Solo were supposed to be married at the end of this.
I did read that. Which would, yeah, I guess. They got married in the books after that, had some children.
And David Lynch was originally offered the chance to direct this episode of the series.
Oh, wow.
He turned it down because he believed it was a Lucas thing, and he went on to direct Dune instead.
Well, that was a good choice, David Lynch. I don't want to don't get me started on Dune.
David Lynch is one of those, like, out there guys.
Can you imagine a Return of the Jedi?
That's why I'm thinking, like, oh my god, I have enough issues with this. Much don't make it a David Lynch thing.
Oh, goodness me.
So, that's all I got.
Alright, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and we'll tell you why after these words.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, we're back. And welcome back to our look back at Star Wars in honor of our appearance at Fun Expo this week. So we're going to talk about one of the prequels now. Revenge of the Sith, which was Episode 3, which we got to see twice at the drive-in and once at the regular theater. And the significant thing about that movie is that week our daughter was born.
Yep.
Diana was born the week Revenge of the Sith came out. And tell the folks out there how long after you got released from the hospital that we saw it at the drive-in.
That day. So I had her on Monday, and then Thursday night we went to the drive-in to see Revenge of the Sith.
With your sister, and she was in the back, and we tell her it was her first movie.
Yep.
Even though she was asleep and facing the other way. She was there. So, yeah, that movie has a special place in my heart, and it's definitely my favorite of the prequels. I always liked how they kind of left it so that you knew where they were going in Episode 4. They have little bits at the end of Episode 3. For example, you get to see the exact same spaceship from the beginning of New Hope that 3PO and R2 were on. That was Jimmy Smith's ship. And C-3PO gets his mind wiped, pretty much so they can explain why he doesn't know Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine, or why he doesn't remember being on Tatooine, even though that's where he was built.
Yeah.
By the way, a little too convenient that Anakin Skywalker built C-3PO.
Yeah.
So Revenge of the Sith came out in 2005. Holy crap, that's 8 years ago already.
I know, right?
So when they do get around to releasing Episode 7, that's going to be the 10th anniversary. And damn, it'll be 10. Oh, okay, I don't want to think about it. So we hadn't watched it in a while. Had you seen it since that year?
I don't think so.
Your parents got me the DVD that year, and I've watched it a few times.
Yeah.
But it was good watching it again. I just remembered a bunch of stuff I forgot about. I did make some notes here. Some stuff annoyed me, but a lot of good stuff. First of all, Hayden Christensen, you can't act, dude.
At least not in this. Like, I haven't seen him in anything else, so...
Yeah. I wrote down that his acting was better than in Attack of the Clones, but he's still bad. We didn't get a lot. We got a little less of Obi-Wan's holding me back in this one.
Oh, man.
I liked how they linked up episode 3 and 4 together. My favorite of the prequels. You're right, though. He turned pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like, I understand him wanting to save his wife and all, but wouldn't he have found a different way to do it instead of aligning himself real quick with, like, the biggest Sith Lord in the world?
What do you mean I don't get to be on the council? I'm just going to be evil.
Yeah. Like, what's that? Oh, yeah. He's whiny in this one.
Yeah.
And he still had to hide the fact that he was married to Queen Amidala. I don't remember in anywhere else saying it's against the Jedi law to be married.
Yeah, you're not a priest.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so we're gonna hide the fact that we're married. Oh, look, she's having babies. Like,
no one asked. Hey,
isn't that worse?
Like, yeah.
Being out of wedlock.
Yeah, you're right. And no one asked, hey, where do you live? Hey, Anakin, where do you go at night?
He and Obi-Wan.
Where can we reach you if there's a Jedi emergency?
He and Obi-Wan don't carpool to the Jedi office.
Oh, jeez.
I don't understand that part of it.
No, I never got that.
Like, either. Okay, so we're not going to tell anybody we're married. You're going to have these babies. We're not going to tell anybody you're having this baby. Oh, because I only know there's one.
Oh,
so
geez.
All these amazing Jedis who can sense things.
Yeah.
And midichlorians now, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm not even getting into that argument yet. Nobody knows that she's got two babies in there.
Not even him. And he's
nobody.
Like, he's the most powerful Jedi around.
Nobody. Nobody can sense that there's two.
No.
Full of midichlorians, by the way, which are very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was making me angry.
Yeah.
It's like the end of Friends when they have the twins.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, boy.
So those midichlorians.
Yeah. I'm shaking my head because I still don't get why they had to have that. I did read that there was like a really cool plot device they'd never used. Do you remember Phantom Menace? Like, Anakin's mother was just, oh, all of a sudden I was pregnant. There was no father. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I guess there was, in the script for Revenge of the Sith, we find out that the Emperor used his powers to impregnate this woman.
Yeah.
Which they never mentioned. Like, I was always wondering, like, how did this lady just get pregnant? Like, he's not Jesus. What else? I thought General Grievous was a cool character.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Gary Oldman was supposed to do the voice of him originally, but somehow couldn't do it at the last minute.
Oh, wow.
I guess they explain in the Clone Wars cartoon why he was always coughing, even though he was a robot.
Yeah.
I never read why. But that's Lucas's cough. I guess he had a real bad cough at one point during the filming of that and said, hey, let's use my bad cough for this robot guy.
Okay.
Half robot, half... I don't know, he had some human parts, or some creature parts in there, I guess. What else? So we were both talking about how he turns evil, like, real fast. Okay, I get that he's still trying to save his wife at this point, so okay, maybe you just want to do whatever this dude says. Killing Jedi children, though?
Yeah.
Oh, that still got me, like, when I knew it was coming. It was like, oh, Anakin's here, hooray! Not so much hooray.
I was not in the room, thank God, for that one. I remember sitting in the back of my sister's van, holding my very newborn daughter, watching this movie, and all of a sudden he goes in and kills babies. And I'm like, What just happened? Oh my God! So I was not excited to see that part of this movie again. I don't know, I know, like, okay, he's evil, blah, blah, blah. But seriously, you're about to be a dad, and you're just going to go in and kill children?
Yeah.
Really?
Doesn't make sense, eh?
So, A, you're upset because they won't let you on their team. Because, you know, you're still pretty new. You're about to be a dad, so clearly the next best thing to do is go and kill a bunch of Padawans. Like,
yeah.
What?
Doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah, it still got me, too.
And I don't understand where it comes from. Like, George Lucas being a father?
Yeah.
Like, how do you write that?
True.
Like, oh, he's showing, like, how evil he is. Really? We had to go that far?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that just, it doesn't sit well with me.
No, I didn't like that either.
All right.
And she just dies of a broken heart because she has nothing to live with. Hello, what about your new babies?
Yeah. It's all going back to Sun and June. Sun and Jin from Lost.
Oh, yeah.
And just drowning themselves. You have a daughter. You better fight. Like, come on. She was a queen. She was a senator. And now she's got nothing to live for because her dude's evil? Like, really?
Stupid evil Anakin.
Like, you were the head of the feminist group for Star Wars, and then, oh, he's evil and I'm sad. Blech. Come on.
Wow.
Angry.
Wow, this is the Star Wars movie that made Kath the angriest.
I did like that originally a young Han Solo was supposed to make an appearance in the film, living amongst the Wookiees.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that I'm kind of happy that he's not in this movie because it would just make me angry. But I'd like to see his Lego ventures instead. So I'm okay with
that. I think maybe if they do this, yes, I said do. If they do, one of these spin-off movies they were planning of young Han Solo, maybe they would show that.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty cool.
Still got me a little bit, too, when, well, for those of you that have seen it, Palpatine becomes the Emperor and then has this big law where all the clone troopers start killing off the Jedi. And they all of a sudden turn on Yoda. So Yoda's got to escape from the Wookiee planet. It kind of got me with the, oh, goodbye, Chewbacca, I'll miss you. Like, that got me in the heart for some reason.
Yeah. It was pretty sad.
That being said, the special effects in this movie were awesome. I really liked the lightsaber fights at the end between Yoda and the Emperor and definitely Obi-Wan and Anakin was an amazing lightsaber fight on the lava planet, Mustafar. And that was kind of a cool nod, too, because I remember reading an interview in the 70s or early 80s where they asked how Darth Vader gets so screwed up. Oh, Obi-Wan and him were fighting like near a volcano and he fell in or something like that. So that was kind of cool. It didn't help that the kid kept yelling, "Why won't he fall in the lava?" So he gets all mangled and hacked up. And I thought it was cool that they showed him with the droids getting rebuilt to be Darth Vader with the robotic parts and the costume. And you know what's coming. I did not care for the, no!
Yeah.
Darth Vader is not a bitch.
Apparently he is.
Oh, man. No! Anyhow. What else did I like about this movie? I did enjoy... I did not like the death of Mace Windu in this. They threw him out the window. He could still be alive. Maybe he'll turn up in episode 7.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I'm back with a fake arm, mother effer.
That would be pretty cool.
Oh, jeez. I didn't like the Jedi being killed off. I didn't know this, but every clone trooper in the movie was CGI.
Yeah.
Like, every single last one of them.
Yep, there wasn't a single clone trooper helmet made for this movie.
Yeah, that was pretty decent.
They're all CGI. This movie also has the highest body count of any Star Wars film. This only counts bodies that are seen. And it comes in at 115.
Wow, I can't believe it.
If we counted implied deaths, the highest would be either Star Wars Episode IV or New Hope, with the destruction of Alderaan and the Death Star, or Star Wars Episode VI, with the destruction of another Death Star and many ships besides. So 115 actual visual deaths in this movie.
Wow.
Our baby's first movie.
I don't want this to turn into the "here's what I hated about these movies" show. But you're trying to hide Luke from his father. So you take him to the planet where his father was born. And not only that, you take him to his relatives for them to raise him.
He never joked with family.
Then again, it was clever that they made Amidala look like she was still pregnant for her funeral, just in case Darth Vader showed up there.
Yeah.
Just so he wouldn't have known that.
He still knew eventually.
Not until Empire Strikes Back, though. Like, he did. He wasn't searching the galaxy looking for his son.
I don't know. It all just seemed a little too convenient.
It is the only Star Wars film that doesn't have R2-D2 in the final scene.
Aw. Poor R2.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I like this one. It's my third favorite Star Wars movie after Empire and the original.
I liked it. The only thing that runs through my mind is that scene from Clerks 2. Mannakin Skywalker, your acting is ruining the movie.
Oh, it's true. It's true. He's not that great of an actor.
He's not in Star Wars movies.
And I gotta check his IMDb as he works. Oh, he was in that Jumper movie, I think. But I don't know. I haven't followed Hayden Christensen's career.
No.
Oh, you know what did bother me, though? And I think it bothered me 8 years ago?
Well, grind your gears.
So right before they're all going their separate ways at the end, Yoda comes out and goes, "Hey, I got some training for you, Obi-Wan Kenobi." "Oh, what? A recent friend of yours has recently come back and communicated to me." "Who?" "Oh, Qui-Gon Jinn." But they don't show it, or at least you don't. And I guess they filmed the scene of Liam Neeson. Like, why would they cut that out? That'd be cool, like, to see a ghost. It always bothered me in Phantom Menace that they didn't just show him disappear like Alec Guinness did and all the other Jedi did when they died. He just got stabbed and there was a body laying there.
Do it for Chewie. Do it for Yoda.
Oh, yeah, I communicated with Qui-Gon, and you couldn't have shown that? That would have been cool.
Yeah, no.
But, like I said, I don't want this to just turn into the "I hate this movie" thread, because I did like this movie a lot. Despite Hayden. And in fact, I'm going to give this movie... Oh, I can't think of anything funny, because there's nothing really funny about this movie.
3 dead Padawans out of 5.
I was thinking that. I didn't want to say it.
Fine. 3 Medichlorians out of 5.
Yeah. I will give this... I'm just going to give 4 out of 5. I can't think of a funny description for this one.
Okay.
4 out of 5 jetpackless R2-D2s. So I do like Revenge of the Sith a lot, and it always makes me think of the kid just because she was born that week, and like great memories of that. And I am really looking forward to Episode 7 in a couple of years, which will be awesome.
Yeah. Eventually.
And, you know, I love Star Wars. I grew up on it. I'm 43 now. I still love it a lot. I'm trying to get the kid into it. She likes some of it. And, I mean, the franchise is almost 40 years old, and it's always attracting new viewers and new people discovering it for the first time. And that's pretty cool. I mean, it's cool that it has that lasting appeal.
Yeah. It's Star Wars.
Yep. Anything else you want to add, honey?
No.
All right. So that's our little Star Wars retrospective. Oh, in the break, we did confirm I had a different Star Wars storybook than Kath did. And in my storybook, there was no Pam Rose. By the way, Pam Rose was this very nice lady we interviewed who was in the cantina scene from the original Star Wars, which was amazing. I met someone from the original Star Wars movie. Oh, good day. That was a great day. So, yeah, we do have sort of a Star Wars-related week going on here on We Got the Geek. The Geek Survey, Star Wars-related. You'll hear the two Star Wars interviews we did. And it was fun to look back on these movies. Maybe we'll do Attack of the Clones next time, because it was your favorite, if we ever look back on it.
Yeah.
And you know what else is a drag? They were going to release them all in 3D, and this would have been the year we took the kid to see Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
But they scrapped it once they announced the new movie.
I would be excited to see that.
Yeah. Add some more Jar Jar in there. You could have seen Jam Wessel in 3D.
I know.
Oh, well, I don't want to make Kath angrier, so we'll end things here. So thanks for listening. May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you. Live long and wrong franchise. Wrong franchise. All right, folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time here on We Got the Geek.
Thanks for listening, folks. If you want to hear more, please check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.